Okay, so what I want to do is first I want to finish off. Do I want to speak a couple of more minutes about last week's? How are you? Last week's topic, and then to begin the from the beginning, we'll start. We're going to start Hotzah today as well, and our new Mar Makomos. I'm not sure how many we'll get through tonight, but either way, that's our next. This is for our next topic. So whenever if we don't do them tonight, we'll be doing them. You know, probably for a week or so, 2 weeks. If I'm guessing. Yeah. Okay. So we were discussing the law part of our introduction to Masechet Shabbos. So we started with the Mitzaseh. I want to say a few more words about the Mitzaseh tonight as we conclude the Akdama, and then we went on to discuss the Mitzvah Slosaseh of Shabbos, Slosaseh Kol Melacha, and in particular we were zeroing in on the relationship between 39 Avos Melacha. In the, you know, which are conveyed by a single pasuk, and the implication is by a single, you know, category called Isur Melacha. So, if it's Isur Melacha, is it 39? Is it one, etc.? And that's an issue which we explored. Basically, we were suggesting that there are two extreme views. One is the one perspective is to see all the Melachos as a single idea, and 39 categories of application. In that sense, the different malachos are like, you know, kotzer and tochen are like chelev and chelev, you know, two different types of chelev. But basically, the shem yisur is one, the ma'isa aveira is one. According to that perspective, the reason that if a person is involved in shigas malacha, let's say zadon Shabbos and shigas malacha, he knows it's Shabbos today. He knows that there's a concept of Shabbos. He knows that today is the calendar day of Shabbos. But he goes ahead and he violates several malachos because he makes a mistake about several of the malachos. He makes a kotzer mistake and a tochen mistake and a ma'amer mistake. So the reason that he gets three, has to bring three karbanos, is because either of the amount of mistakes that he made, or simply it's exeris hakasav, it's part of the chomer of Shabbos, that even though we're dealing with chelev, v'chelev, v'chelev, normally chelev, v'chelev, v'chelev, you know, gets you a single karban. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's an additional chumrah, and that additional chumrah establishes three chatos. That's one extreme. The opposite perspective, and by the way, that's mostly the perspective of the Minchas Chinuch, as I mentioned. The Minchas Chinuch was very impressed by the fact that in Hilchos Yom Tov, when you have a parallel question bemazed with Malkus, meaning you give a person Hasra, and he goes ahead, and on the basis of that Hasra, he, you know, violates several malachos, let's say. So the rule is, even though chiluk malachos b'Shabbos, ain chiluk malachos b'Yom Tov. So Minchas Chinuch said, if on Yom Tov there aren't chiluk malachos, meaning you're chai for all of them one instead of each one individually, then what that shows is that the malachos are one category. Ah, but on Hilchos Shabbos it's not that so. That's not that way. So the Minchas Chinuch's conclusion was, that's because it's a special limud, and that's because it's a special chumrah of Shabbos. But from Yom Tov, you see the true character of Shabbos. That's the Minchas Chinuch's analysis, and we traced it through various things. The other extreme, as we've been discussing, is the opposite one, which says that there are 39 different Shemos Iser. Just like there's Chelev and Dam and Oser and Pigul and Tamei, so too there's Kotzer and Tochen and Kosev and Bona and Motzim and Shus Lashus and Makom Patish and so on. Meaning, while there it's more obvious because we're dealing with totally different categories, they have nothing to do with each other, except that on an efficiency level, you know, it's easy to classify them all as macholas asuros, but macholas asuros is a general, you know, common denominator description. It's not really a shem iser, obviously. But when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's much less obvious, but nonetheless, there are a number of Gemaras, a number of Rishonim, who compare Kotzer v'Tochen to Chelev and Dam. And of course, that would explain better the concept of Chiluk Malachos. Why it is that when you know it's Shabbos, but you don't know a bunch of Malachos, you are Chai v'Kol Echad v'Yachad? The reason is because, just like if you eat Chelev and Dam and Oser and Pigel, you bring Kol Echad v'Yachad, so too when you bring these Malachos. The problem with that is that, you know, why is it, for example, that Tinok Shenishba, that if somebody grows up and he knows nothing about Judaism, why is it that, you know, if he violates every single Isur in the Torah, he brings a separate carbon for each category? You know, he brings a carbon for Chelev, he brings a carbon for Dam. He doesn't know Chai Chelev, he doesn't know Dam, he doesn't know Nosar, he doesn't know Pigel. He, you know, he was, you know, he grew up on an island and I don't know where, you know, where he never heard of Judaism, he never heard of anything, right? But he still brings a korban for chela, for dam, for noser, for pigul, and tame, but he only brings a single korban for Shabbos, right? So why is it? Doesn't that seem to defy the equation with chela and dam? It does. There are ways to get out of that question. Again, you might say, oh, well, while Shabbos is our 39 averos, Shemos Iser, it's still one day in one category. There's still something unifying about it, notwithstanding that it's individual. Okay, but those are two extremes. In between the two extremes, they also developed the idea that maybe there are two dinim in Shabbos, meaning it's both 39 and 1. The Torah writes it in such a way that it can be understood in both. And maybe that's exactly the difference between Shigas Shabbos and Shigas Palacha. As if you don't know that it's Shabbos, because you know, were in a stupor or whatever, and you missed a day somewhere, and your calendar's off, so and you did all 39 Avos Malacha, you still only bring a single korban. It's true you only made a single mistake, but you did violate a whole bunch of Avos Malacha, and yet you bring one korban. On the other hand, as we said, if you know that it's Shabbos and you just don't know the malachos, you bring a korban for each separate one. And maybe those two dinim, maybe both of them, not just one of them, that's the debate, is learned out from a pasuk. Me'achas me'hena. Right? Hena shehi achas, achas shehi hena. That's the Gemara that we saw in Ayin Amud Aleph. So maybe the point is that there really are two perspectives in Shabbos. A fourth perspective, also in between the two extremes, is the idea that maybe Shabbos is one Shem Iser, but maybe there are different Maisa Averas on Shabbos. And that's those are the issues that we've been exploring. So last week, we zeroed in on some concrete debates about this point, including whether or not you can combine for a single shear different malachos. Let's say you do a half grogerus kotzer and a half grogerus tochein, right? Could you combine those? You can't combine chelav and dal, right? Can you combine, but you can combine chelav and chelav, can you combine kotzer and tochein? At least those malachos that have the same shear. Let's say they both are grogerus. And in a context of Shigas Shabbos, because if it's Shigas Malachos, you couldn't combine them anyway because the two Shigagos are different. I mean, if I didn't come to Shir when the Rebbe taught Kotzer, and I also didn't come to Shir when he taught, Tochein, and the result of one absence is one Avera, and the other absence is another Avera, it doesn't make sense to combine those two things. But if I, you know, somehow got off on my calendar and I did a whole bunch of malachos so that the root of my problem is one, and it would express itself in a half grogerus of kotzer and a half grogerus of tochein, and in theory, I believe that kotzer and tochein really are just expressions of one idea, not different expressions, not distinctive expressions. So maybe there could be tzir of the shir, maybe. And that's a discussion in Haskinuch and and Krisus and Rashi, a whole bunch of issues. That was one issue we discussed. Chiluk Malachos was the second issue, which we discussed, about Yontif and Shabbos. My suggestion that maybe we distinguish between Yontif and Shabbos, which I want to get back to. A third issue we discussed was Hasra'a. What do I have to warn you of when you're about to violate a Malacha on Shabbos? Right, do I have to say, is it enough for me to say you're about to do a Malacha Shabbos? Well, Sasa called Malacha? Or do I have to explicate, right, you're about to do Zoreh, you're about to do Choresh, you're about to do Kotzer, you're about to do Ma'amer. Certainly, when somebody's about to eat Chelev and Dam, at least according to most Rishonim, right, I have to specify. I can't just say, you're about to eat Macholos Asuros, and it'll cause you a Chiv Malkus or Choresh. I can't do that. I've got to be, according to most Rishonim, I've got to be specific about the name. I have to identify the Aveira. Do I have to identify the Malacha? So again, Rishonim, Achronim discuss that issue. And then finally, last week, the last thing that we discussed was Lav Shebeklalos. We have a rule, and this affects more Yom Tov than Shabbos, but the question is whether the spillover to Shabbos, how do we assess that? But the point is that the Gemara tells us in a bunch of places, in Makos and Beitzah and Psachim, that you can end up getting Malkus on Yom Tov for violating Malacha. Kol Malachas Avodu Losas, so if you do it, the Hasra, you'll get Malkus. So the question Rishonim asked, the Ravon in Atshuva, Bali Tosis in Samach Gimel, the Ramban in Makos, the Ramban in the Shirashim and Sefer Mitzvos, the question is, why isn't that Lav Shebeklalos? We have a rule, Lav Shebeklalos ain Lokin Olav, right? Now, what's a Lav Shebeklalos? So we discussed the different models, but the point is, why isn't that, for example, lo sa'avdeim in Avodah Zarah, which is also a kind of broad statement, do not, right, practice Avodah Zarah, but there's all sorts of ways to violate Avodah Zarah. That's called the Lav Shebeklalos. Why isn't Kol Melachas Avoda a Lav Shebeklalos? So once again, we saw Rishonim weighing in to try to explain. Everybody agrees it's not Lav Shebeklalos, but they almost say opposite explanations. Why? It's not Lav Shebeklalos because when Torah says Melachas Avoda, it's as if it really said, right, each one separately. So it's as if it said, don't do Zoreya, don't do Choresh, don't do Kotzer, don't do Ma'amer. Not that they're included under one rubric. That's just shorthand. But really, it's like each one was, you know, mifarat separately. Or maybe the opposite. It's so general that it isn't being kolel dvarim harbe. It's just one iser, right? And the applications are interchangeable. That's all. It's basically whether you do kotzer, ma'amer, zoreya, it doesn't matter. They're just examples of a certain level of malacha, a malacha on a certain stature. And that stature is what makes it a malacha, and then it's simply the same thing. It's not klali even, never mind kolel. It's one idea, just a bunch of different ways to technically to violate. So these are the issues that we discussed. I wanted to finish up with one last issue, and then I wanted to discuss Yanta for a couple of minutes, and then I want to start at the beginning. So we'll move to Chotzah, which is a topic in its own right, but is also connected, as we'll see, in just a couple of minutes. So the one issue that we didn't discuss yet, and I said we would, is the concept of Yediyas Achet. So in the previous sheets, the last page, I believe it's page 4, I'm guessing. Everybody have that? So there's a very fascinating halakha, one which instinctively, you know, unless you happen to all be knowledgeable and know it, which I'm sure you all are, but before you became knowledgeable and knew it, you know, probably we would not have anticipated. And I think it has important, you know, hashkafic and halachic implications too, but that's not for now. Okay, what is that halach after that big buildup? The halach is as follows. We know that if you violate an aveira, right, of a certain stature, the shogeg that you bring a korban chatos. That's what we've been talking about. Is it necessary to be able to label, to identify the ma'isa aveira? Or is it sufficient that I know that I violated, I bevadai, I certainly violated an aveira of that stature? Let's say I for sure know I did an alav sheyesh b'maisa, right, which the Torah, you know, you know, provide stakes for. If you do a mezid, you know, there's malchus or there's misa, you do a pshogeg, yachayev chatos. I know I did that aveira, one of those aveiras. I just don't know which one. Now, how could such a thing happen? It could happen. Right? You ate a certain macholos asuros. There were two on the table. Turns out one was chaylev, one was dam. You know? And you know you ate one, you just don't remember, you know, which one you ate. Or, you know, the chef doctored up the chaylev and the dam in such a way that they were, you know, both unrecognizable. But you found out later that in, you know, the two dishes on the table, one was chaylev and one was dam, or one dish that was left on the table, you know, you found out was made out of either chaylev or dam. I mean, it doesn't make a difference.
As you get older, you begin to realize the practical truth of not knowing what you.
I'm sorry? Say that again?
As you get older, you begin to realize
it. You're saying, I don't have to labor so hard. Like, everybody can identify here, you're saying.
I don't know everybody.
Right. I hear. Okay.
How does Kasruah apply to this?
No, we're talking about Karban, Shgaga, Shogeg.
Yeah.
There's no Hasra and Shogeg. So, this is a Khatas question. So the Mishnah says as follows. Chela v'nosar lefanav. Right? There's chelev and nosar, both are prohibited. Right? And they're both on the table, and we know you ate one. Ochal echad mehem ve'en yodeh, is them ochal. Right? He doesn't know which one he ate. Ishto nida, v'achoso imo babayis. Where there are two women, right? And, you know, in the house. And there are three women, or two, actually. He thought it was his wife. You know, turns out that it was somebody else, whatever. I mean, this is a kind of a, you know, a strange case, but whatever, it's a case, right? Shogag v'yachas mehen, v'en yodeh be'ezem em shogag, Okay? Next. Shabbos v'Yom HaKippurim. What's Shabbos v'Yom HaKippurim? Both Shabbos and Yom Kippur are violations that trigger a korban, right? Not Yom Tov, but Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So let's say, Dinah Malacha, V'yasa Malacha ben HaShemashos, Ben Yodeh Ezem Ben Asa. So he did the Malacha ben HaShemashos between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur and Shabbos, doesn't make a difference. And therefore he doesn't know whether he violated Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but he definitely violated, let's say, one of them. Right? Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatos, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Again, instinctively, I think we all would have thought, with Rabbi Eliezer, who really cares? You know, if you don't know whether you violated, then you bring a korban asham tal, depending on the nature of the safek. But let's say you had the shuman and the chalav on the table, right? And you know that you ate from one, but you don't know which one. Then that's a safek which triggers a korban asham tal. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a situation where you ate one of two vadai chatases. So you would think, Mimanashuk, you have to bring a korban chatas for you for sure violated. Right. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to know your chet in order for the korban to be effective. It's not enough to know that you were chote. You have to be able to label your chet. Very fascinating. Anyway, then the mission continues. I'm Rabbi Yossi. This is where it becomes important for us. Lo nechaku. Oh no, that's right, not yet. But I'm Rabbi Yossi. Lo nechaku al osa malacha ben hashmash Yeshua patur. Right? Shani omer miksas asa yom miksas asa lemachar. So the Mishnah is a fascinating Mishnah, increases. So the Mishnah basically says, listen, the Ben HaShemashos case is a little tricky. In theory, there's no Vadai there. Because it is possible, we're talking about timing, right? So it's possible that you did part of the malacha, you know, in one day, like, you know, with the transition point, and part of the malacha on the other day, in which case you're not by the kaiv a korban chatas at all. So we must be talking about a case where we know that you did a violation of the malacha not during the transition. You know, let's say we know that at 5:45, that's the transition point. Or between 5:40 and 5:45 is a transition, whatever it is, doesn't make a difference. So we know that either you did the malacha before, or you did the malacha after, but we don't know, we don't remember whether it was before or it was after. So that would be a case. But then the Mishnah adds, or for example, right, you did a malacha on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, right, and you just don't know. Oh, al osa ve'eni yodeh me'ein eza malacha asa. I mean, you did a malach on Shabbos, but you don't know whether it was kotzer or tochen. Okay? Why don't you know? Let's say you don't know whether it was zorah, you don't know whether it's borer or marakit. I don't know. Meaning that's a little closer. But whatever. Or you did something, you know, that either was one or the other. Either it's a matter of memory or maybe halachically you don't know the difference so much. You violated bavadai, one of the malachos, you don't know which one. Oh, is that the same as not knowing whether it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur? Is that the same as not knowing whether it's Nidar or Achoso? Is that the same as not knowing whether it's Nosar or Chelev or Chelev and Dam? Right? At this point in the Mishnah thinks it is. Wow. Now, that doesn't have to mean that Kotzer and Tochen are Chelev and Dam. Although it certainly seems that way at first blush. Certainly we're equating them. But we might be equating them not because Kotzer and Tochen are Chelev and Dam, but because even Kotzer and Tochen are sufficiently distinct, right, from each other, that constitutes a problem. Now, who says Yedias Achet depends on the Shem Iser? Maybe Yedias Achet depends on what I call the Maisa Aveira, right? So we don't know 100% about the significance of this line in the Mishnah, but certainly it seems to be an equation. If not an equation, it's the next best thing. It's certainly not treating Chelev and Dam like Chelev and Chelev, that's for sure.
Doesn't the Chatas need exactitude, not the...
What do you mean exactitude?
When I bring a Chatas, I have to know exactly what it's for.
That's what we're talking about.
So that's the Chelev. It's the chattas itself that forces me. That's why.
No, that's it's a requirement of korban chattas.
Yes, I mean, so I mean, I can know the chaytid, I have chaytid, everything else. But the chattas said that's not good enough.
Right, 100%. No, I'm only asking the question, if Rabbi Yeshua says that you need the diyas achet.
Right, the diyas of the specific chet.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is if you know that you specifically did one of the lamed tasavus malachos, but you don't know which
Torah was,
is that the same as not knowing whether it's nosa or chela?
I would assume so.
That's what the mission is assuming, but
I mean the chatos forces me. I mean
no.
I would say I'm asking for redo.
So let me ask you. And if you ate,
And if you ate
pickled chaylev, or if you ate cooked chaylev, or you ate roasted chaylev, does that matter?
I would assume not.
You assume not. I would assume not also. Okay. So what we're really asking here is whether kotzer and tochein are like nosar and chaylev, or are they like cooked chaylev? That's what we've been asking all along, right?
I understand, but I mean, but the chatos is a problem.
To label the shem iser. If it's all one shem iser, then it's all one shem iser. If for hasra purposes, you can say l'chasa malacha, right? And if for chatzi shir purposes, you can be mitzaris between the shiurim, then what? Why do I need to know whether it was kotzer or tochein? It's important as long as I know I was in violation of
those. Requirement of chatzis for some reason.
Right, but why should chatzis be more?
That is the question. Why should chatzis have?
How do you know that it's more?
I had such a specific requirement.
How do you know that it goes as far as?
Okay.
Meaning the other cases in the Mishnah.
I understand.
Until we reach me'ein oso, until we reach oso malacha. She'eno,
I understand all that.
It's a leap.
But what I have is not that the specificity of chatos is going.
Right, but you still don't know whether
the wrench.
No, 100%. But you just don't know whether that requirement of the specificity of chatos extends beyond a single shemisa. So basically, this is what the Mishnah assumes, though your way so far. But then the next line in the Mishnah really is the next. Challenge. Omer Rav Yehuda. No, not the last. The one after that. Omer Rav Yehuda. Poacher. How you Rav Yeshua? Ach me'ashem tali. That's even more fascinating.
Right.
Rav Yeshua said, even though you know that for sure you ate either chelav adam, right, or you did the melacha A or B, not only are you pater michatas, you don't even bring an ashem tali. Wow. Okay. Next. Now comes the line that we're most concerned with. Rav Shimon Shazuri Omrim. Lo nechako al davar shehu mishem echad shehu chayev, right? Alma nechako al davar shehu mishum shtei shemos shabalazer mechayev chatos. Rabbi Yeshua poter. This is a little clarification of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar's debate. So let's look very carefully one more time. Lo nechako al davar shehu mishem echad shehu chayev. If they agreed that it was a shem echad, even if there was some confusion about the details, that would not be a problem, even for Rabbi Yeshua. That wouldn't be a lack of yidiyas achet. What do they argue about? Al davar shu mishum shnei shemos. Now, what are shnei shemos? In our normal lexicon, shnei shemos is chelav and dam, right? Is shnei shemos kotzer v'tochein? That's our question. That's what we've been asking all along, right? Are kotzer v'tochein two shemos, or are they two ma'isa averos, or are they even less, two echetimtzis? One Rashi called them two gufin, right? This is exactly the point. This is where the Mishnah basically said, answering your point before, it's true you need the idea of sachet, but you need the idea of the shem iser. You don't need the idea of every little detail. Right? So now the question is, when the Mishnah says this, what are they targeting? We don't know. Right? Then they end up, but whatever, the rest of the Mishnah is not so. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I feel this kavin lo kotenim, looking at the rule he's left. The rest of the Mishnah, when we get to the Tasek at other time. Anyway. The point is, this line, this is a loaded line, as we say, right? But we don't know what the target is. If you look at Rashi, if you ask me and I read the Mishnah, I would say right away, this target is on the one vulnerable case in the Mishnah, namely, the malachos. You know it's Shabbos, you don't know which malacha. Every other case, you didn't know the Shem Iser. Here, we're not sure whether that's a Shem Iser problem or not. Rashi increases, which I should have put here on the sheet, but for some reason I didn't. Rashi says, when on the line of the Mishnah that says Aman Nechon called Dover Shem Shnei Shemos. Rashi says like Kotza B'Tochem, meaning the Mishnah is not targeting Malachos. The problem with that is, so you say, oh wow, this is an amazing Rashi. This is Rashi saying that Kotza B'Tochem is Chelav and Dam. The problem with it is that he then goes too far. If he had stopped there, it would have been sensational. If you read the Rashi, he then goes on to say, and let's say you were Likate, Anavim, Adumim, and not some other color, that also would be considered a problem of Yediyas HaChet. So it kind of ruined it. Right? We just don't know exactly why and what that means. Right? So it's a very difficult Rashi. On the one hand, he giveth, On the other hand, he taketh away by being too expansive. He kind of diluted the significance of including, Malachos under the rubric of Shemos by diluting Shemos in the next sentence. And that's a problem. Oh. But anyway, that's Rashi. There's not so much on Croesus, right? But if you look at the Rambam, something interesting emerges. Look at the Rambam. Hiloshkogas Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. That's a little bit of a mystery, puzzle. Mishelo Nogalo Atzma Shol Ched Shechata. Whoever does not know to identify the Ched that he already did, right? Apal Pi Sheyada Bevadai She'avar Losa Se'sheish Bakares. Even though he knows for certain that he did violate something which triggers this Onesh, and one would have thought that would be enough. Harei Zeh Pater Mikorban Chatas. It's not enough. He's exempt from a Korban Chatas. Shenemar Asher Chata Ba. The word ba, right, in it is superfluous. What do you mean? Asher chata. Obviously, chata, he was chotein, whatever he was chotein. What do you have to add the word ba? Right? Ad sheyeda hachet shechata bo. That extra ba is to teach you, right, that you need to identify and label the chet. It's not enough that you know that you sinned, you need to know what you sinned. Okay. Ketzad. Now, our microscope gets back. Some attention. Well, what's the Rambam going to quote? Right? Chelav nosa lefanav, yachalas echon mehem ve'en yodua, eza achal. Chelav nosa. Ishto nidav achos lebayis. Right? V'shagag balachas mehem ve'en yodeiz v'en boal. Right? Two cases in the Mishnah. You can't blame Rambam. We always blame the Rambam when he says new things, right? But so far he's just quoting the Mishnah. Shabbos v'yom kippur, also in the Mishnah. Right? Lefanav yasa malacha be'acham mehem ve'en yodeiz v'en rosa. So, any problems with the Rambam? Not what he says, but what he doesn't say. The prominent, it's the only case in the Mishnah that he left out, right? Let's look at the Mishnah again. One second. Chela Vinosa, right? Ishtan Yidu Beitzo. Shabbos Yom Kippur. And then the Gemara has, one second. So if the Rambam had omitted other cases, you could say, does the Rambam have to quote every single case of the Mishnah? The Chule, But, what is it the Gemara always says, Tani Vashier. And they would say, why isn't this in the Mishnah? And so, Tani Vashier, you left some cases out, it's not an exhaustive list. Right? Eza Shier. If you have every single case but one, you don't say Tani Vashir. Because if you're trying to save ink, and you're only interested in the principle, then you don't bring every single case minus one. You bring the minority of cases or whatever. So, and frankly, you also do not omit the most controversial or mechudash case, which this is for two reasons. Right, number one, just objectively, even if you didn't have the Seifa, Rab Shimon Shizuri, right, it would still be the most controversial case because the others are unequivocally different Shemos. The only one where you're scratching your head a little bit and you're not so sure about it is the Shabbos case. Right, so that's not a Bechule. Once you have Rab Shimon and Rab Shimon Shizuri who make a big statement, what are they targeting? Right? But it sounds like they're, at least it's a question, that the most obvious candidate of the previous, if they're saying something going forward, which is how Rashi reads it, that's one thing. But if they're targeting what they've already, what has already been said, the best candidate is this case. So, undoubtedly the Rambam understood that too. Right? So for him to omit this case is striking. Now, the Nosa Kalim mention it, some of them, they say, there's also another case. Some of them say, you know, Tani v'shiyar, basically. I'm just pointing out that methodologically, in this particular case, Tani v'shiyar is a big, big problem. The Minchas Chinuch noticed it, because he, you know, as I say, his antennae were working the whole time, right, in this topic. He's really, really into this issue. Just that, as we know, the Minchas Chinuch is, you know, very, very convinced that what? That all the Malachos are one Shem Iser. Right. Even then, it took him a while, you know, to warm up to this Rambam. Right, so initially the Minchas Chinuch in not in Shabbos, by the way, in his piece on Chatas, I think it's Kuf Chav or something like 50 days Kuf Chav, whatever it is, in the mitzvah about Korban Chatas, he talks about the requirement of Yedias Hachet because this mission increases. Then he mentions the omission of the Rambam, and then he says, yeah, but he says there's no way that the Rambam, right, doesn't think that this is a problem of Yedias Hachet, right? And then he launches into a really interesting discussion. He says, what will be the din, and this is something that the Rambam weighs in on, about Gufun Mechloket. Right? The Rambam says that do you need to know the person, let's say, again, you know, you made a mistake in Arayos, right? You know the Aveira that you did, right? But you don't know who you did it with. Right? We talked about Gufa Mechalken. You know, Gufa Mechalken means that even though if you do, let's say, Baal Isha Nida, right? So twice, right? The same person. But if it's two different people, that's called Gufa Mechalken, right? It's a separate partner or whatever. And Yechayv Shtayim. Right? Just like Shemos and Mechalken, so the Rambam in Pirshu Mishnayis in Krisus and in the Cheshkagos, I should have reproduced that one too, but I didn't. But the Rambam says, what about Gufin Mechalken? Gemara doesn't discuss it. Is there a din of Yedias Hachet that you have to know the right, you know, who the person was? Right? So the Rambam says no. So the Minchas Chinuch starts wondering. So Minchas Chinuch says, the Rambam doesn't mention, you know, Shabbos, the Malachos, but probably, like the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah, thinks that, you know, there's a problem of Yedias Hachet. And then he says, I don't understand, why should it be any worse than Gufin? Right? Now, that's fascinating on two levels. Meaning, he starts off his analysis assuming that the omission of the Rambam is insignificant, and that according to the Rambam, there's a Yedias Hachet problem in Malachos. Then he points to the next Rambam that says that in Gufin there's no issue of Yedias Hachet, which totally makes sense. And he says, I don't understand. Malachos are probably inferior to Gufin. That only Minchas Chinuch could say such a thing, because only Minchas Chinuch is so, so convinced, based on Yom Tov, that all the Malachos are the same. So he says he barely can justify a Chiluk Malachos since it's a Zerzakasim. Gufin is always Chiluk Malachos. But in Gufin, there's no din of Yedias Hachet. Now, I wouldn't have been bothered by that question anyway, even if all those facts were true, because what did Gufin have to do with Yedias Hachet? Right? That's to do with a Maisa, different Maisa Avera, but not a different Shem Yisrael. In any case, to make a long story short, in the end, after a little bit of Shakla Vitaria back and forth, you know, the Minchas Chinuch says, you know what? You know what I really think is going on here? I think the Rambam omitted the Malachos because he thinks that it's all one Shem Iser, like I generally think. And it's exactly like, it's certainly not better than Gufin. And he omitted it intentionally, because that's how he understood Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Chizuri, that's exactly what they were saying. There's no din of Yedias Hachet, because the Malachos are integrated, or interchangeable. So that is just another great example of the, you know, Shakla Vitaria, and possibly the things that affect. So let me, I just want to say one other thing.
How does he explain the mission?
Sorry?
How does he explain the mission?
What's the problem?
Is it
yeah, but then Rav Shimon Shizuri said, Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Shizuri come after that, and they say, Lo nechaku al davar shu mishem echad shu kayin, Alma nachli kol davar shum shum shtei shemos. But they don't tell you what they mean. No, that according to him, that's exactly this ruling. But Rav Shimon Shizuri said, "What are you talking about? Malachos are not a problem of Yediyah Zakat because they're one shame. The only problem they ever have is the only time you have a problem of Yediyah of Yediyah Zakat is if you have two separate shemos.
So how can you have that?
How can you have what?
How can you have two shemos? How can you have two shemos?
Yeah,
one
also. One shemos."
Nosar and Chela are two shemos.
Have a Nida and a Choso.
Nida and a Choso are
two shemos.
All the cases in the Mishnah are two shemos. The only case that's not obviously two shemos is the Malachos. So he understands that's exactly what did Rav Shimon. The best way to read the Mishnah is to read it that way. Unfortunately, in Perush Mishnayos, in Krisus, where the Rambam makes this comment about Gufin, he just doesn't weigh in on how he reads Rav Shimon Shizuri explicitly. Right? But, based on his omission in Yad HaChazakah, which I've tried to show is methodologically striking, you see every other case except for the case which is least, clear. You should do the opposite. You want to leave out the obvious cases. You don't want to leave out the controversial cases. So how did he read the Mishnah? The answer is that's exactly how he read the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Shizuri, come from where they try to tell us. So what? Who said no? So Rashi says, no, it's about other things. It's actually more inclusive, not less inclusive. But the simple read, if I just had to read the Mishnah without any perush and anything to worry about, I would have said Rav Shimon Shizuri came along to tell you Shabbos is a bad example. Probably that's how the Rambam read it. Why is it a bad example? Because it's one shame, not two shamos. Yeah.
You comment on the Rambam that it's not 20 to share, that he gives all but one.
Exactly. Yeah, and he all but one, and all but the one that we want to hear about the most.
Right. But Rav Shimon ben Shizuri is equally cryptic.
It is cryptic.
Right.
If it wasn't cryptic, Rashi wouldn't have had the option of saying differently. But just because it's cryptic doesn't mean he is saying something, right? We're trying to figure out what does he mean. Everybody has, every Befaresh has to decide what does this cryptic thing mean, right? So Rashi says one thing, it's controversial. Now we're trying to figure out what does the Rambam say. But we have a clue in the Rambam, it's a puzzle. We have a clue in the Rambam that he omits this one case, and it happens to be the one case that best fits in to Rav Shimon and Rav Shizuri's comment. It's a little cryptic, but it's not. If I had my druthers, I would have just read Rav Shimon and Shizuri like that to begin with. Right? Now, the fact that the Rambam omits the case that needs the most clarification, to me, means that if you ask him, how come, what about that case? Look at the Mishnah and Krishna, you'll see.
Is that consistent with Rambam in other places?
Consistent in other places regarding what?
Regarding this issue that we discussed this over the last 3 weeks.
That what? Oh, I see what you're saying. It's hard to pin down the Rambam on these questions. I mean, about Hasra is hard to pin down in the Rambam because the Rambam of the Sanhedrin thinks that all you ever require for Hasra is to inform the person the stakes of his violation. In other words, Rashi in Shavuos, Daf Chaf Mud Beis, Micha's going to quote this all the time, says that in order for Hasra, it seems to say that Hasra requires you to quote the proper Makor, the Pasuk. Right? Tosas in Moed Katan seems to say that Hasra requires that you, they're the best one for this topic, label the Chet, that you give it the proper shame. For them, this is a very acute issue. But the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin seems to say that all you require in Hasra is to tell the person, if you do this action, you're going to get Malkus, or you're going to get Misa, or whatever the case may be. So, if you don't need to, you don't need a Pasuk, and you don't need a proper label, all you need to do is tell them what's at stake. It's hard to pin down, that issue. It's hard to pin down. I believe the Rambam is Shila Shitasa. I think there's a couple of comments about Yodea Ikar Shabbos, and a few other things which imply that, but I don't think it's so definitive about the Rambam. But it's a good question, what you're asking. I mean, what is the other evidence from the other cases? 100%.
If you don't say like that, then what's the whole point of a Shiva Rishim?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying Rashi has a different read. Rashi thinks it's more expansive, not more restrictive. But in Akhenami, I think the easiest way to read this, if forget about everything else, if it wasn't the Rambam, I would have read from Shimon Shimon Shizuri that way.
Because they must be coming to disagree with something in the Tanakhama.
Exactly. The only thing it can exclude, the only thing excludable is the Shabbos case. Right? Again, according to Rashi, it doesn't exclude anything in the Tanakhama, it's expanding. Right? But it's strange. Rashi is a very strange increase. Okay. So let me just say a couple of other things very, very quickly. I've been suggesting, and this is part of a much bigger topic, we've touched on it before, some of the Yom Tovim, as we discussed, but you know, it's always bigger than the amount that we have time to speak about it. And that is to distinguish between, on this issue, between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And I just wanted to combine, since we talked about two big topics so far, so I want to connect, you know, those two big topics. In a certain sense, I mean, as I've been suggesting, you know, to navigate around some of the evidence, and particularly in opposition to the Minchas Chinuch, in other words, is that Shabbos, Kivot Shabbos Mikol Melachto Shabar Lekim La'asos, Shabbos is about Yisur Melacha. That's what its theme is. So there, to say that, you know, each Av Melacha isn't just an example, right? It's an independent category, maybe even an independent Shemisur, is a reasonable argument. To say, oh, the Chil Shabbos of Zoreh and the Chil Shabbos of Choresh are different. It's not just that there's a common denominator of a certain level, stature of constructive Melacha that you're not supposed to be doing on Shabbos, but that each, you know, in its own way is a different kind of violation. In Shabbos, it's much more, as they say in Hebrew, Nitan Lehe Amer, right? It's more sayable. A little bit more, much more, I would actually say. It's not Mukhrach in Shabbos. It's not impossible to say in Yom Tov. But it's much more logical in Shabbos than it is in Yom Tov. Because the whole point is that Yom Tov isn't about Yisur Melacha. Right? Yom Tov is about whatever Yom Tov is about. Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, you know, Yom HaZikaron. It's not about Yisur Melacha. Yisur Melacha comes, this is part of our other discussions, Yisur Melacha comes to Yom Tov through Shabbos. Because it's Yom Techila L'mikroi Kodesh. And that's how I've explained Parshas Emor many times, and the presence of Shabbos there, and the order, and the, you know, apparent, you know, what I call a double start, or a false start, I guess. So this time of the season we speak about false start, and so on. The point is that if the theme of Yom Tov is not Yisur Melacha, but Yisur Melacha is just a way of establishing the Tzuras Hayom, the Ruach Hayom, on Yom Tov, very, very critical on Yom Tov. Don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying Yisur Melacha on Yom Tov, I'm just saying it isn't what it is on Shabbos. So to say that on Yom Tov there's no Chiluk Melachos, because these are basically common denominator, interchangeable things, because it isn't about the Melacha, it's about the Melachas undermining the Shem Kedushas Hayom. But in Shabbos, it's each and every one. That makes a lot of sense, and it will help you with a lot of things, including Chiluk Melachos, etc. However, it will also possibly have a very interesting effect. And that is in two ways. Number one, how comprehensive and inclusive is the Yisur Melacha of Yom Tov vis-a-vis Shabbos? For example, Havara, right, we know in the Gemara that this is debate whether Havara is the Chalak Yatzas or Havara is the Lav Yatzas. Right, we discuss it. Gemara Ayin Amud Aleph. So the Bali Tosis in Psachim and in Beitza discuss if Havara is the Lav Yatzas, is it even Asur Anyantif? Maybe it's only Asur Anyantif if it's an Av Malacha L'Chalik Yatzas. Okay. And there are similar, so I won't go into details because this is a massive topic, but the requirement of Shvisas Eved. So you got the Ramban and the Bahag discussed. The requirement of Shvisas Behema and the Isra of Mechamer. You might actually distinguish between them, maybe even in opposite directions, because Mechamer may be connected more to the Lav and Shvisas Behema more to the Aseh. Do these things apply in Yom Tov or not? Tchumin. By Doraisa, I'm talking about. Isu Tchum in Doraisa. Right? If it applies to Shabbos, does it apply to Yom Tov? There's some interesting material about this. Even in the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, right? And Yad HaChazakah, the Ramban has a certain critique of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot. Are there differences between Tchum on a Doraisa level on Shabbos and on Yom Tov? Right? All sorts of interesting questions and issues. Of course, I mean, it starts with the heter of Ochol Nefesh on Yom Tov that doesn't apply to Shabbos, and how we understand that. I'm not going to go into it right now. Is that, you know, that might be very much related to this question. Point is that what we might say is that where there is intrinsic malacha, right, it doesn't just affect the onesh, right, which is more common, the fact that there's a korban chatos, and things like chiluk malachos, either as a chumrah, but especially as the idea of individual malachos, it may also affect a more expanded corpus of isurim. Not only me, my behemoth, not only me, right, things that are connected to me, are associated with me, namely, eved, not only havara, as a malacha, as an av malacha, maybe even as a lav, not only hotzah, but tchumin, an expanded idea, right? But Yom Tov, which is just Mikra Kodesh, where the malachos are interchangeable, so the spillover effect is in all these other. I've always argued that that's maybe the real pshat for some mafarshim at least. When we say ein bein, you know, Shabbos v'Yom Tov v'Ochol Nefesh Bilvad, Sugya Megillah, so you know the tendency of the even already some of the Rishonim, the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos, and certainly the Achronim is to ask all sorts of questions like, it's not true, right? What about Chiluk Malachos? And what about Havar Lalav Yatzos? And what about, you know, a whole bunch of things that also seem to distinguish Shabbos from Yom Tov? So again, what is it, Tani Bashir? The Yerushalmi says, and what about the Onesh? And what about the Karban? Right? So there are ways to get out of these problems, you know, each one individually, to neutralize the evidence, and that's the direction that a lot of the Rishonim and a lot of the Mefarshim take. But I always thought, if this is all true, that, you know, the way to understand it is, the Mishnah in Megillah was never, ever trying to suggest that there's a single difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. What they were trying to do is characterize the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Their saying was, if you really want to understand the multiple differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov, despite the fact that they share something in common, and that commonality isn't just a commonality, it's a kind of a direct, you know, a borrowing from Yom Tov to Shabbos of the concept of Isur Malacha, and yet it seems to be incomplete and therefore inconsistent. If you want to understand all of that, look to one halacha, understand that halacha well, and then you'll understand where these other distinctions come from. And what is that halacha? The Heter Ochol Nefesh. Right? Heter Ochol Nefesh can't exist in Hilchos Shabbos. Because what you're hungry and therefore you're going to violate Balacha. It's a day of Balacha. Right? But in Yom Tov, Heter Ochol Nefesh, depends how you understand it again, whether it's Hutra, whether it's Tchuya, what it is, what it isn't. But certainly you could understand that what's Asar and Yom Tov is that there should be a Yom Kol. And that Isur Malacha is necessary for the Tzura of a Yom Kodesh. Shabbos Ikri Moed, Moed Ikri Shabbos. But to the extent that, you know, what you're doing isn't kind of like the Ramban puts it in his Perek Shel HaTorah, and also in his in the Chamos, in the third parak of, in the beginning of the third parak of Beitza, right? If you're not dealing with a producer malacha, you know, or a long term malacha, or a malacha savoda, you know, Shel Amal the Torah, but you're talking about the Kiyum and Simchas Yom Tov, since that isn't the theme of the day, that's an internal limit. Right, it's malacha, like the Ramban says again in Perek Shel HaTorah. It's not a heter; it's an inner limit. It's not kol malacha; it's malacha savoda. Now, that's one whole area, and that's very fruitful. You have to like follow through. But I think that there's also a much more subtle other distinction that emerges. Our first topic was to try to explain the relationship between the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh. And one of the things that we tried to develop again through the Ramban and others is the idea that Shabbos isn't just a day of don'ts, right? there's a kiyum of Shabbos is a certain tzuras hayom, right? And that affects not only technically being compliant, you know, with the infractions, right? It also affects the spirit of the day and not abusing that spirit of the day. Meaning, shvusim drabanan, this clothing, there's a certain kind of conversation on Shabbos, right? Shabbos is a gestalt of some sort, right? And that's what the aseh adds to the los aseh. If you only add the aseh, you'd have nothing, right? Because you need concrete shvisom imalacha. But together, the combination of the aseh and the los aseh, zachar v'shamar, b'di b'rechad, if you will, you know, that's a juggernaut, as I say, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And we talked about the Ramban and the Ritva, about Kiddush, and so on and so forth. In light of what I'm saying, though, basically the perspectives on the aseh of Shabbos sound an awful lot, in a way, like the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov on the Isra Malacha level. Not completely, but what I'm really kind of saying is that Isra Malacha on Shabbos is very specific. And Isra Malacha on Yom Tov is very much oriented towards Mikra Kodesh, the spirit of the day. Right? In which case, and that affects the Lav. But now what I'm trying to add is, if it affects the Lav, it may also affect the Aseh and the relationship between the Aseh and the Lav. Everybody with me? Mostly? Okay. So, what do I mean by that? Meaning, in Shabbos, where the lav is very, in light of our second topic, very specific and very, you know, each malacha is a kind of, you know, at least independent ma'isaver, maybe even a shemiser, right? So the not the corrective, we'll call it the complement, you know, with an e, you know, or the complement to that is the mitzvah saseh, which keeps us very, that, you know, as much as these individually surim that you're refraining from are important. There's also a gestalt called Shabbos, right? And you can't altihin aval brishus haTorah about that part either. It has to have a certain tsuras yom kodesh, right? You can't have your businesses open, you know, because you have an eruv and because you're not writing it down, you know, and so on and so forth. But on Yom Tov, in a way, that's what the lav is doing, right? Because the theme of the day isn't Isra Malacha. Isra Malacha is there to guarantee the sanctity, you know, and the Ruach Hayom, in a way. So then, you might say, or you might raise the following question. So is the Aseh of Yom Tov identical or parallel to the Aseh of Shabbos? Because on some level, right, what the Aseh especially provides for Shabbos is what the Lav, you know, of Yom Tov to begin with is accomplishing. Which means, and this is a little complicated, it's not my fault, but it just is, which means that you might come to one of three conclusions, or, you know, the one is very simple, the other two are opposite, but what I'll call again parallel opposites. And that is as follows. You might say, good, very nice, it's a nice analysis, but there's a lav in Shabbos, there's a lav in Yom Tov, there's not saying Shabbos, there's saying Yom Tov, and they're, you know, basically in sync. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, and probably most people think that. However, in light of what we're saying, you also might come to two opposite conclusions, but for the same reason. And that is, that the mitzvah saseh of Yom Tov is less significant, or maybe non-existent, because it's kind of superfluous to what the lav is already doing. In Shabbos, the liaseh is also prominent alongside the lav, because it provides that complement. But that's exactly what the lav of Yom Tov is all about. So in Yom Tov, either there should be no aseh, or the aseh should contribute, should be lav or lav, b'lav yaseh. Right? But it shouldn't be substantively expansive because that's what the lav does. Right? Or you might say exactly the opposite for the same reason, and that is, in Shabbos, as much as we need to focus on the Ruach HaYom, and that's what the aseh accomplishes, but in the end of the day, you know, the lav is the key. And the aseh is, you know, is an important additional element. But in Yom Tov, maybe the aseh is even more prominent because the lav is kind of driven by the theme of the aseh. So if we find, you know, as in our inquiries, as, you know, researchers, you know, if we find that Yom Tov, like the interplay between the aseh of Yom Tov, the aseh and lav of Yom Tov is different than the interplay of the aseh and lav of Shabbos, right? we should not be surprised, but it might go in either direction. Okay? That's a setup. Right. So is it so or not? So let me just take a couple of more minutes. Try to remember. I think the first Marmakomas, I don't have them anymore. Do we still have the first Marmakomas? Oh. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to my Rambam. But yeah, I'm going to get to my Rambam. Thank you. Okay. So the first Marmakomos. No. These are the last Marmakomos.
Which one do you want? Last
week? No, the one in the midst of Satsay.
Oh, the very first one?
Yeah.
Oh.
There we go. Excellent. Thank you. So there are a couple things I just want to mention very quickly. Oh. Look at, anybody who has them? It'd be worthwhile looking at. Number one, formulation. In Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, I must have Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph somewhere, don't I?
This is on page 3, set number 2, which is the one with the Shalom.
Where do I have Shabbos Aleph Aleph?
Page 3 of set number 2.
Oh, this is the wrong one. This is the Yom Kippur. But it has some of those. You know what? Let me keep this. Okay, between there. Oh, no, I don't need it. Okay, go ahead.
I have the Yom Kippur too.
Yeah, you know, you're good. Okay, Perek Aleph of the Shabbos Aleph Aleph. Look at the Rambam. Shvisa v'shvi m'malacha mitzvah saseh. Refraining from Malach on the seventh day is a positive commandment. Shenemar b'yomar shvi tishbos b'chala osa b'malacha bito. Now this is the key line for this. For now, chala osa b'malacha. If you do malacha, bito mitzvah asay v'avar alos asay. Right? You destroy mitzvah asay and you violate alos asay. Shenemar, and then he goes on explaining. Correct. Now look at Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Sheishes, oh no, I do, okay. Go now. Look at Halakha base. Kala show base. Hold on 1 second.
Page 4.
Page 3. Sorry, page 3. Of the. Sheishes Shemim Ailusha Srona Kosabatias Malacha. Shehid Rishon Shvi Shal Pesach Rishon Shmini Shokaga Sukkot Subyom Chaga Shavuos. Ube Echa Lakodesh Shvi. Heina Nikroim Yamin Tov. Right? Even the way he formulates it, the 6 days are defined by Isur Malacha, right? Ushvisas kulan shava shehin asurin b'chol malacha savoda chutz malacha shul tzor kachol nefesh shenemar achas shei yakel lachol nefesh halacha base kol hashov base mi malacha savoda be'echad mehen harei kiei mitzus hasei sharinemar behem shabason klomar shvos b'chol ha'osa be'echad mehen malacha Shainul Tsara Kakila, Kigombana Ohara So Ora Kyotsubainu, Hari Bitom Mitz Saseva Avralos Asay. Now if we read it microscopically again, carefully, so what do we notice? There's a line in the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov that doesn't have a parallel in Hilchos Shabbos. What's that line? It doesn't say anywhere in Hilchos Shabbos that if you're shoveis mimalacha that you fulfill a mitzvah saseh. It only says that if you violate a malacha, you violate both the asay and the lav. But in Hilchos Yom Tov, there's an additional line that says shvisa m'malacha is a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah asay. Is it possible that that's, you know, just in Yom Kippur it doesn't appear, in Shabbos it doesn't appear, only in Yom Tov. That's one. Number two, we've already discussed very extensively, again in our first topic, that the Rambam, like the Ramban, but earlier, if he meant it, you know, has the idea that Shvus and Drabanan are constitute a violation d'oraisa of Shabbos. That's Perek Chaf Aleph Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. Right, also on this page, Nemar Batora Tishbos Afilu Midvarim Shein Malacha Chayv Lishbos Behem Midvarim Harbei Shein Shasur Chachamim Mishum Shvus. Man dvarim batzurim ebnei shem doma lemalacha. Man dvarim gzeir shema yava man isra skila beluhei. This is the Rambam's famous comment, right? That seems to say that if you violate drabanan, you violate the daraisa of the asay of Shabbos. What's fascinating is, and this the Minchas Chinuch points out, although he's not so sure what to do with it, that you do not have a parallel such Rambam in Hilchos Yontov. Is it possible that the Rambam in Hilchos Yontov thinks that Shvusim are Shvusim, but in Hilchos Shabbos Shvusim are Daraisa? Now, in a way, these two points I just made are opposite. Right? He's accentuating the assay in one sense, and he's also limiting it in another sense. But there's no contradiction according to what I'm saying, because in a way, when you assess the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov, right, this idea of the Ruach Hayom, which is at the basis of the possibility, right, of having Drabanans be Doraisas, is both more and less on Yom Tov. It's all what Yom Tov is. That's all there is in Yom Tov in a way. And therefore it's more pronounced, and it's also less pronounced because it doesn't need to fight. In Shabbos, you need to distinguish that idea from Isur Melacha, of Daraisa. And in Yom Tov, you don't. Another fascinating thing is, look here at the Rambam in Kuf Samach Zayin. Mitzvah Saseh Kuf Samach Zayin. Same page. A mitzvah Kuf Samach Zayin, Shitzivanu Lishbos Melacha B'yom HaShmini, Shal Chag HaSukkah, Suamar Yisal B'yom HaShmini, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Good. Veda, no. Shazos HaShvisa, HaMotelos Aleinu V'choyom V'yom E'elu Shesh Tzayamim, HaShisha HaYamim, the Shvisa of these 6 days, Dinam Din Echad. Right? Then he adds, what's fascinating about it, this is as follows. Should the Rambam have put the heter of Ochol Nefesh in his discussion of the mitzvah asay of Yom Tov? He should have put it in his discussion of the mitzvah los asay of Yom Tov. Right? Because it's an exception to Isur Melacha. What? I mean, you're not talking about Simchas Yontov here. He's talking about the essay of Shvisa Mimalacha. Why is the essay of Shvisa Mimalacha including Heter Ochol Nefesh? And then he adds, "V'lachein yeh hadin Shvisa hi din echad kol al kol hayom." That's fine. And then he says, "Kvar is bar mishpatei Shvisa azos kulam sechas Yontov ulam Shvisa mutelis b'Shabbes the Yom Kippurim the Shvisa of Shabbos and Yom Kippur he gam kein." Hashvisa hahi ba'atzma, b'tosafos rabos. Well, we're not even sure what he means by that. That's a cryptic line. Meaning, and by the way, there are some other differences between the assay of Shabbos and the assay of Yom Tov. What does he mean? I think what he means is that this belongs to the assay because this is all part of the kiyum of Yom Tov. So let me, the makab patish of this, if you will, turn to page 4. I'm not going to read the notes, but I want to at least start symbolically the beginning. So I'm not going to read the first part. The Talmud Bavli Masechet Shabbos Chavdal Rav Beis? What is that? Ah. So the Mishnah says, Ein Madlikin Shemen B'Sreifa B'Yom Tov. Which is like Truma Tmeya. You're not allowed to burn. Truma Tmeya, you're supposed to burn it. That's what you do with Truma Tmeya. You're supposed to burn it, you can enjoy it when you burn it, but you're not supposed to do it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, my taima, and goes through several reasons why it's prohibited to burn Truma Tmei on Yom Tov. Several reasons. So one of the last reasons is Ravashi. Look at the last line. Ravashi Amar, Shabbason, Asay, Bahavala Yom Tov Asay, Velos Asay, Ben Asay, Dochalos Asay, V'Asay. The mitzvah of burning Truma Tmeya is a mitzvah saseh. The violation of Melacha on Yom Tov is an aseh and a lo saseh. The ein aseh, docha lo saseh v'aseh. That's a rule that we have. So the Bali Tosis basically were bothered by the question, why? What do we need the other limudim for? What's wrong with this limud? The other limudim are more specific to the problem of madlikin, you know, shemen sreifa b'yom tov. Ravashi is a universal principle of Kol HaTorah Kula, Ein Aseh, Dochalos Aseh V'Aseh. Why do you need anything more than that? So Tosa says, Havala Yontav Aseh V'im Tomer, Hanacham Roi De La'el De Sabri De Yontav Los Aseh, Greida, Nev Mehochad La Dochi Aseh Los Aseh, Tekai Gavna Perik Kamadi Vamos. Tosa was bothered by the question I asked, but that's not the question that they ask. The question they ask is based on them being bothered by the question I asked. Meaning, they're saying like this. Obviously, it seems like the other Amoraim don't think that there's a mitzvah saseh of Yom Tov. But if that's true, then how come you can't learn from here that in Asay Docha Lo Saseh? Yishlomar, or Vishema Mikan, or Nelev, Sheyachal Asasacha Yom Tov. That's not my problem right now. What is my problem, not my problem, what is my pleasure here, actually, is that Tosis is basically suggesting that there's a machlokas between Rav Ashi and the other Amoraim whether Yom Tov has a mitzvah saseh or not. That's amazing. So some of the Achronim, like Maritz Chayas and on the Kuf Knivas Yarek Gemara that we talked about, Kuf Yedalan on the days, say things like, Agav, it's time to quote, en passant. They say, and Tosis and Shabbos, what is it, Chatei Amud Aleph, which says there's no mitzvah saseh Yom Tov, who I didn't, of course, for Shabbos. And then they could talk about it. But I don't think it's true. Meaning, I think that this Tosis is suggesting that there's a whole group of Amoraim who think that there's no mitzvah saseh of Yom Tov. But that doesn't mean that they hold that there's no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. How could that be? The answer is it could very well be. Because maybe the assay of Yom Tov is more pronounced and more powerful in its context, or maybe it's more superfluous, because in a way the duplication is greater. The duplication is greater, therefore the assay which is driving it is stronger, or the duplication is greater and therefore the assay is more superfluous, or both at the same time perhaps. So the fascinating other issue I wanted to mention, when we talked about Shabbos and the mitzvah saseh, I mentioned that there is a debate between Tosaf and the Chinuch about whether women are obligated on the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. Chinuch says yes, and so does the Ramban. Most have shown him the Bali Tosaf and Kiddushin say no. So mitzvah saseh is man grava. That itself is a very interesting question. We talked about it already. But what's equally fascinating is the machlokas achronim about this machlokas rishonim, and that is the debate happens to be on about Yom Tov. What the Chinuch writes and what the Bali Tosis write are about Yom Tov. So the Minchas Chinuch says even the Bali Tosis who say that on Yom Tov women are exempt from the mitzvah say think that women are obligated on Shabbos. And the Sefer called Mishas Avram, it says exactly the opposite. It says even the Chinuch, right, who says that women are obligated. Did I say it right? No, the other way. Even the Chinuch, who says that women are obligated on Yom Tov, would say that they are exempt on Shabbos. Sorry, that's right. As I say. So, what's going on? Why should you distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov one way or another? But maybe there's good reason to make this distinction. There's also Meiri, and one suggestion, and Beitza seems to wonder why it seems like, Shvisas Eved may be included in the lav of Shabbos and the aseh of Yom Tov, or vice versa. He says, I don't understand why Shabbos and Yom Tov should matter whether it's included in the lav or the aseh. But once again, if Shabbos and Yom Tov are different, and if the role of the aseh or the interaction of the aseh and the lav are different, it really opens up a lot of things. Okay, let's take a couple of minutes, which we have, at least to start, now that we have a better basis. So we talked a lot about mitzvah saseh, the mitzvah lo saseh of Shabbos, and about the spirit of the day, right, and about the concept of malacha and individual malachos and general malacha. So now we turn our attention to the malacha, the individual malachos themselves. So there's a Mishnah on Lufit for a second. Well, even when you start with that base, you have to start with Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah Ayin Gimel, of course, delineates the malachos.
What would be the issue of Chatzi Shiur by Yontif, by Kotzer B'Tochin, are they Mitzarif?
You mean, is it possible to distinguish between Shabbos? I think so. I think that you could distinguish, as long as you don't say it's apples and oranges and so on. I mean, what the Minchas Chinuch considers possible in Shigas Shabbos, if you ask me, there might be a basis to distinguish between Yom Tov and Shabbos. That would be and maybe Hasharah might be differences, might be other differences too. I thought lots of Maklalos, 100%. Okay. So the Mishnah here says, Avos Melachos are Boim Chatzarachas, and then it lists all the Melachos. Fascinating is that the last ones, you get to the bottom of the page, right? Hasilser HaMakam HaMavir, HaMakam BePatish, HaMotzim Rishos Lishos. Hare Elu Avos Melachos are Boim Chatzarachas. Correct? So with regard to the question that we've been asking, let's say, 39 Avos Melacha, 39 Shemos Iser, 39 interchangeable acts of stature, creativity, transformation, you know, that are also B'Shabbos interchangeably. Is it not also possible that the quality of the different Melachos plays a role? Right? Difficult to say that because we don't normally think that we should distinguish. But here and there, the idea that different Melachos might have different qualities, and even vis-a-vis, like the question that we're asking, or if not, other questions, is something to think about, and that on two levels. Number one, if the Torah itself treats them differently. What do I mean by that? So the Torah says, "Asasa kol melacha," right? And part of our issue of the Lama Tess Avos Melachos is the fact that the Torah doesn't spell out the 39, right? But as we did note, there are a couple that I mentioned. One, of course, very prominently, as we've been discussing, Havara. That's what the Gemara itself zeroes in and asks, Havara l'chalik yatzas, Havara l'lav yatzas. Where'd that come from? Why are they asking that? Because it stands out of 39 Avos Melacha. The Torah says, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem b'yom ha-shabbos. That's the most belate, the most obvious one. And they're trying to make something of it. Maybe it's different. Maybe it isn't a real full melacha, right? There are three others to think about. Becharish ubakatsir tishbos. We had that on Ayin Omid Aleph when we talked about also the Los Asakom melacha. Now that's a tricky one because it's not 100% clear that it's talking about Shabbos. Maybe it's talking about Shemitah. And is it Charish and Katsir together? Right, or separately. The fourth one, I guess, well, those are two, is Hotzah. As we'll soon see, the Torah seems to speak about Hotzah twice. Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, if, as the Gemara and Erevin understands it, we'll talk about this for the next couple of weeks, it's not only Al Yetzei, but Al Yotzi. And the other one is in the context of the Mishkan, Vayikalei Ha'am Mehavi, seems to be referring to carrying on Shabbos. So if the Torah treats carrying, chrisha, ktira, and havara differently, is it possible that their status is different?
Mekoshe
Shetzim wasn't Hotzah. I mean, it was Mekoshe Shetzim. why is that Hotzah?
Because what is he doing? He's gathering. He's not cutting.
How do you know he's not cutting?
Because he's only Mekoshe.
Mekoshesh from Pashas says that he's cutting the. Well, but we'll get to that.
What about Esa to Tofu, to Bashelu, etc.?
Well, that doesn't refer to an Isra Malacha. That refers to what you're supposed to do in advance to prepare. Maybe it means the Muktzah or other things, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's not so clear. Okay. But it's something to bring up. What I'm asking is the salt. That's one issue. One issue is how is it treated in the Torah? And why is it treated differently in the Torah? And is that for some local reason and then it gets neutralized? Or does it continue to play a role in the way that we treat this melacha? That's a huge topic in Havara, as we just mentioned, especially if you hold the Chalik Yatzas. It's a huge topic, as we'll soon see, in Hotzah. Second issue is the more objective question, and that is, just looking at each of these melachos, do they really look all equal? And that in two senses, again. Number one, some of them seem to overlap too much with each other. The Gemara speaks about this. Zoreh, Boreh, Merakeh. Right? We had it already when we talked about the source of 39 Avos Melacha. Meaning, we wouldn't have thought that there were three. We would have thought there were one. The fact that each one gets a separate Khatas and Shigas Melacha, Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Boreh, Hainu Merakeh, when it seems only a difference in what you know, what kli you're using or what stage you're in, a little bit of tzura. They're all separation, aren't they? Purging, separation, filtering. How much difference is it? That's one example. Right? The other example is not so much the overlap between and the independence, but the quality. And in the quality issue, there are especially two to think about. One is makna patish, which seems to be a very general idea. Most Rishonim interpret makna patish as simply gemar malacha. Gemar malacha, meaning it doesn't really have its own tzura. It's not the hammer per se. It's the last nail, meaning it's completing the job. Completing the job is a very effect-oriented definition, right? Maybe makna patish has different rules, right? Some people think it might. Maybe is different in makna patish, things of that sort. The other one, again, the other obvious one, hotzah. Because hotzah seems to be a very difficult malacha to understand. And this, of course, is our next issue and topic. But to introduce it, let me just add, so even in terms of the issues we've been discussing today, aspect of Shabbos, the lo sase, how intrinsically a maisavera is it? Are there differences? Makapatesh, Hotzah, etc. Just like Havar Lalav might have been a difference. Hotzah in particular has the added puzzle, in addition to this being treated differently in Torah Shabbat, and that is in the list itself. It's the last of the malachos, right? Motzim Shusushus. Now, something has to be last. Right?
Yeah.
Even then, what's last and what's first is usually noteworthy. But again, methodologically, it's even more noteworthy when there's good reason to think it shouldn't be either first or last. And in the case of Hotzah, there's good reason. What's the good reason? What's the good reason? Not because it shouldn't be last. Something has to be last. Lack of a patish should have been last. Naturally, if I just, you know, blindfolded you and you didn't know, I'd say, these are the malachos. Which one would you put last? What could be better than putting makom patish last? Right, it's at least well defined, number one, and it's the makom patish of the malachos, right? So makom patish and then motzim rishus l'rishus. And at the same time, how does the masechta begin? With hotzah, the last on the list and the first in the masechta. What's that all about? It's not a contradiction, but in both cases, the question is, why? And the answer has to be, or the answer you'd like optimally to be, unless it's two different answers. Well, it could be two different questions, two different answers. But of course, you know, as a we prefer unified theory, you know, which explains why it's both the last and the first, which means it's distinctive for firstly. Oh, the Torah treats it differently. Two psukim, not just zero. Usually, most malachos zero psukim. Hotzah maybe two psukim. Right? The last, when it shouldn't have been the last, but it certainly isn't the first you'd think of. And moreover, what exactly is Hotzah? Well, I mean, we know what it is, but what's the problem with Hotzah? So that's what gets us started. So just to show you that I'm not making up the question, so the Mishnah begins here, Yitzios HaShabbos Shehet Shtayim Shin Arba Bifnim, just for more 30 more seconds. Shtayim Shin Arba Chutz, a very difficult Mishnah to read, I have to say. Right? And by the way, there are many interpretations, not just in the Gemara, but, you know, beyond the Gemara, forget how to read the Gemara. How do you read this Mishnah? There are numerous interpretations which we'll discuss. We're going to be on this for a little while, but Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shen Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shen Arba Bechutz. Okay? We'll take Rashi's interpretation as the default to start, because that's what most people think. The Malacha of Hotzah, right, is being analyzed from two perspectives. Right? Mibifnim. The Balabayis, you know, in his home. The person standing in Rishus HaYachid, in other words. And Mibachutz, for the person on the outside. Why do we care? It's not economic. It's not an onion of Balabayis. I mean, but why do we care about Bifnim and Bachutz? Right? That's also a question. So, it's a strange Mishnah, and it's the beginning of the entire Masechta. So, Tosis already asked a question. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos asks both questions. Why they're the last and here the first? Why? Tosis asks the question here. Hikshar Riva, the Dine Hotzos Shabbos Hayulo Lishanos Gabi Avos Malachos Achar Perek Klan Gadol Kamon. Tahasam Ktani Avas Malachas Mem Chasra Achasu Ktani Hotzah Lebesof V'havalei Lahatchil Keseder B'dvar D'mayri Berav Shabbos Mibod Yom Gola Yetzah Chayiv B'machato Samach L'chashecha Ein Shor N'dio B'samanim Ein Sol in Basar Achakach B'mevadlikin V'kira B'metomnim Shem Dvar Manogim M'chashecha Achakach B'mebehema B'meisha Yotza Dvar Manogim B'shabbos Atzmo. I'm sorry I'm reading too much, but I want to finish 1 minute. Veshuv avos malachos shel Shabbos v'derech hatanu l'shamus kaseder zeh kamosh matzina b'psachim, and so on. We find other pesach. Well, what should have been a natural order? Number one, Tosaf doesn't say b'im tomar. Why is it last there? Why is it first here? Why is it first here and last there? He's not saying it exactly that way, but he's saying, why do you start the pesachta this way? It's the last of the malachos. Why is it the first of the pesachta? And why are you starting the pesachta with this anyway? Why not start the Masechta according to the sequence of things? There's Erev Shabbos things, and then there's, you know, Friday night things, and then finally you get to the Malachos, right? And then the last of the Malachos is Hotzah. So just what is going on here? I said the Rambam asked the same question. So you can imagine, you know, questions of order and sequence can always be, you know, just technical. There might be some practical. Tosafot themselves say here that Tosafot actually gives two very important answers. So one is, yeah.
Well, why can't the answer be that there simply is no hierarchy?
Well, just because there's no hierarchy doesn't mean that you would start with the most.
So, I mean, why would you necessarily, if there's no hierarchy, then it doesn't make a difference? What?
I mean, there's a Mishnah, right? It says Zareya, Choresh, Kotzer. Why wouldn't you start with Zareya? Why would you start with the last one on the list? It's not like it was the last one on the list of the previous Masechta, so it's the last, you know, Midasolik Mine, you know, they sometimes say that. This is, in 70 Dapim, we're going to have a list of Avos Malacha. After the Masechta begins, right?
Yeah.
And we're, I mean, in Mishnayos, so it isn't 70, whatever, but in the seventh parak, we're going to list, in the middle of the seventh parak, we're going to list the Malachos. Then we're going to start from Zoray, and we're going to finish at Hotzah. Why are we starting the Masechta with Hotzah? Right? Then we're doing all, and then what are we, let me make it clear. Right after this, we are going to do what Tosa says. We're going to talk about things about lo yetzei achayit v'machato, don't go out, you know, the muttle, the tailor shouldn't go out with his pins and his, you know, and that's when you come home from work, Erev Shabbos, make sure to check your pockets, you know, make sure Neros Chanukah, we're getting closer, Neros Shabbos, why are Dine Chanukah in Shabbos? Because that's the Neiro Shabbos, right? But Mebazikin. So right after we finish with Hotzah, in the beginning here, we're going to continue with Hotzah in the Perek HaZorek and Hamatznia. Okay? But it's a strange sequence. Right? Both in terms of the Malachos and in terms of everything else, and in terms of what happens afterward. Then we do go, you know, preparing for Shabbos, cooking on Kira. Okay. So stop, guys. This is what we want to get to next time. Try to examine what's unique and what the nature of Hotzah is. So hold on to the koros for